Blog Talk Radio.
Let me make very, very clear for all of you. The black agenda, and specifically what black people need, has been front and center for the last 2 years, the last 8 months in particular. Our agenda has been front and center. You saw us fighting for that before. Now it's front and center. And they want us to get to a point where they say, congratulations, you got rid of Trump. The black agenda has won. Okay, the black agenda has won how? Well, Joe Biden, Joe Three Strikes Biden, and Kamala Work Fire Camp Kamala are in the White House now. You all don't have to worry about white supremacy anymore and racism. Don't worry, they're on the job. They're going to get that taken care of for you. I'm going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the blackest radio program in existence. The only one of its kind in the cosmos. If you have been instructed by my mods to call in, you have 2 minutes to be on the line. You post your area code in the chat room so the mods can see what it is, and they'll let me know that you're on the line. If you have been instructed to call in, you must call in. If you do not call in, you will be banned. You've had a lot to say. If you've had a lot to say in the chat room while I've been talking, now you're about to have a lot to say on the phone. But trolling will only get you banned here. As black people, are you voting for a kinder, gentler, white supremacist state? As black people, are you voting for less white supremacy? Are you voting to have white supremacy beat you 4 days a week instead of five? Are you voting for a little change? How many of you are voting for revolutionary change, which is where you overturn systems and eliminate problems? And how many of you are voting for your deadbeat daddy? Well, my daddy didn't see me for 3 years, but if he comes see me once this year, well, he done broke the streak. So if I can get my daddy to break his losing streak, he's doing better. He's trying to do better. A lot of you have been so brutally abused throughout your lives that when you become grown-ups and you start talking and acting crazy like this, you think it's okay. And you think the problem is with the rest of us because we won't tolerate it. Let me get caller from area code 646. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, Jason. Hello, this Jason. Is Asosa from Macon, Georgia.
Asosa from Macon, what's on your mind?
Yeah, man, I totally agree with you when you say that Joe Biden and Kamala being elected will ramp up white supremacy. You know, like Neely Fuller said, we're in the refinement stage of white supremacy at this moment. And, you know, with the election of Trump, I feel like white supremacy is fighting to stay alive, but in a more irrational, more less refined way. But I feel like if Joe gets into office, it will be a lot harder to fight. To fight white supremacy. So those of you who are voting, I'm not voting.
Let me find something here. You said that in the era of Trump that you see it as less refined. Exactly what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, people see Trump being elected as us going back into the 50s, you know, when racism was out in the open. That's what I mean by that. You know, okay. People are more comfortable being open.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand, see, and I don't know if you were born and raised in Macon, but as black people from the South, I was born and raised in Louisiana. They just put out a story today talking about the Louisiana State Police got a whole bunch of white police officers calling the black police officers and other people niggas on recorded. And the damn leader of the state police was talking about, you know, well, he believes that they have seen, basically, that they've seen the error of their ways. They're not going to be reprimanded. So you got Louisiana State Police calling other police, black police officers and black citizens nigger on recording. And the leader of the state police talking about, it's all right. I think they understand that's not the right thing to do. I mean, understand something. Could they refer to gays as the F word even in Louisiana, and then they could sit up here and tell you, we think they've learned their lesson. We think that they understand that's the wrong thing to do. Understand, these state police were not reprimanded. Nothing was done. This is a story I posted on my Facebook page today. Nothing was done. Nothing. Not a thing. That's today. That ain't 1950 even. That's today, right now, in my home state of Louisiana. That's the reality right now, today. I've gone ahead and posted the link in the chat room. But see, a lot of black folk have been spoiled because they think if the police aren't doing that, then where they're at, then racism ain't really an issue. And then they end up like Skip Gates. Then they end up like Oscar Grant. Then they end up like Sean Bell. And then you see those things happen. Eric Garner. So you're correct about being more sophisticated, but by the same token, it is also a system that it's not that it became more sophisticated. I mean, I understand what you mean by more sophisticated, but it's just becoming more honest now. I would argue, not to say that you're wrong, but I would argue that honesty is a new form of sophistication. Oh, follow me. Take it from someone who's been walking this earth over four decades. I've witnessed it as it's evolved. I would argue to you that Trump's form of white supremacy is like Biden. It's the most sophisticated out there because take a look. You had Kanye West and Lil Wayne. I understand they're not exemplary of black manhood. I understand that. Or black people. But understand, the most sophisticated form of racism, brother, I would argue to you, the most sophisticated form of racism is the one that you get people to accept. Now, you can get them to accept it verbally. You can get them to accept it non-verbally. But I would argue to you to have a president who sits in office, or Joe Biden, after three strikes and telling you he's your buddy and your pal, a guy like Trump and whatnot, I would argue to you that in some ways, that's an even more sophisticated form because he's able to sit right there in front of you, wear the shirt, fly the flag, defend the Confederacy, and make this the spoken norm. This is just the overt. Sophistication is being able to, it's one thing that when you sent them into the closet, okay, they had to be more tactful. Well, let me tell you, it's damn sophisticated. Do you know how sophisticated it is to get them, after everything we know about American history, to be able to give them enough cover that they're able to come out of the closet again today with a larger black population than you've ever had, and they're now able to come out of the closet? I would suggest to you that both forms are sophisticated. Not saying that you're wrong, but I would tell everybody, keep your eyes open. I would argue that both of them are sophisticated. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 267. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's up, Jason? This is Recognized Game from YouTube. And I've been following you for quite some time, man. I really appreciate your show and the content that you put out there. Now,
not a program, but all right.
No, I understand what you mean, but I think you understand me too. I appreciate what you do. Now, I think I heard you say a little while ago, what we all know is that, you know, Barack Obama and Biden, their track record isn't all that great with black people. Actually, it might be something that we should hold against them, most likely, in my opinion. But for whatever reason, I see that a lot of influencers are kind of like leading us up to the point where we should make a decision. But as far as like who we should vote for or if we should even participate, I kind of want to, I think I understand where you're coming from, but just for my own sake, I want to know exactly how you feel about like who you should vote for and who would be best for our community. Now, I think I understand who you think we should not vote for.
I'm
Hello?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I think I understand that.
I'm just getting it queued up.
I don't understand.
Okay.
I just wanted
to get it queued up. I'm letting everybody know. I'm just getting it queued. I'm tuning them straight.
Do you think that we should participate in any way? I don't know why you're queuing anything up, but I'm just asking, do you think that we should actually participate or we should just stand down? Or are you an advocate for the down ballot? I just want to be clear on where we're headed.
How long have you been listening to me?
I wish I had an opportunity. That's why I'm asking questions, because I don't want to assume anything. But I've been listening since I started a while ago.
I'll try this once more, and if we can't make progress, I'm moving on the next call. How long have you been listening to me? That's a simple question, buddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't listen every day, so I've heard you the first time maybe a year ago the first time, but I've probably heard your show maybe five times.
Over a year, then you have already heard me address all of this multiple times.
No, I missed it. I only heard you about five times, but the first time I heard you was like a year ago.
Okay,
I like what I hear from your channel.
You love what I do and you listen to me all the time. Didn't you start off by saying that?
No. I didn't say I listen to you all the time. I said I love the content that I do hear from your channel. Well, I called it a program.
He's telling us that in a year he has listened to me five times.
Yeah, I don't get the opportunity to really – I'm like really busy. I got small kids. So when I do hear something that I like, I remember it. So obviously whatever I've heard you say so far –
Let me find out here before I say anything. Because I can't answer a question that I don't have a common frame of reference for. And if you haven't been paying attention for a year and the most you could squeeze out was two or three programs, that's a personal failure. Why do you think...
Well, I'm trying to get to a point where I can get in the loop. So I'm just asking you.
We're going to get you there, but not if you keep talking.
Okay,
I'm listening. Why do you believe people should vote?
I believe that there is not as much as people actually give credence to the voting process, but I do believe socially there is, it does kind of allow us to gauge or give a parameter for people to understand what we are trying to get accomplished.
Okay,
but
sir,
I don't think that it holds.
You're babbling. I asked you, why should people vote? And you start babbling.
I'm trying to explain why I think.
Why is it that people should vote? Explain to us why people should vote.
I was trying to ask you that, but I can explain why I think people should vote. I believe that people should vote simply to, it's like a census, in my opinion. I don't think it really gets much accomplished, but it does give you an idea of what communities are actually trying to get for themselves as far as resources or what it is socially that they accept or condemn. I don't think that it holds much weight as far as getting things done, but it shows what the temperature of certain communities is.
Do you believe that, let me find out here, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 42.
Okay, so you remember Reagan.
Absolutely.
Okay, do you believe that the people who voted for Reagan got what they wanted?
Well, it depends on what demographic you're talking about, but not my community.
Sir,
no.
Do you believe that the people who voted for Ronald Reagan got what they wanted?
Not black people, no. If we're only talking about black people, no.
Black people
Some people did.
No, sir, I said the people who voted for him. If you play semantics,
right.
I'm going to let you go. The people who voted for Reagan, sir, do you believe that they got what they wanted?
I believe that the people who supported Ronald Reagan got exactly what they wanted.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
you. Believe that.
Understand something. When you're dealing with dishonest people, they try to dance around something when they realize, damn, he got me. Yeah. The folks who voted for Reagan, they didn't get
the same side, man. I might just not understand where you're coming from.
They didn't get any of that fluff and guff you were just talking. It wasn't symbolic. It wasn't taking no damn temperature. It wasn't a protest vote. They got real concrete tangibles. They got what they wanted from Reagan. They didn't get what you just said. It wasn't a taking of the temperature. It wasn't a mock vote. What they got, that was a real vote. Sir, it was a real vote.
I'm not saying that's what we should. I'm not saying that's what we should expect.
Sir, I'm going to say this for the last time to you. The very next time that I'm talking and your mouth opens, you're gone. If I'm talking and your mouth starts up, you're out of here. You called
you
called us to explain what you know, which is absolutely nothing. Now that you're
I was calling to ask a question.
Now you want to start talking again. You already had your chance. If you're calling up to ask questions, your role in the in this play is to be quiet. That's your role. Any of your script.
That's my role, bro.
Let me tell you your lines on the script. You see that big blank sheet of paper? It's a blank sheet of paper because those are your lines to read. That's it.
All right, can I ask you a question, and then you could just, like, I can, you just take it there?
Okay.
You like?
I am not joking, people. When I say if I'm talking, you be quiet, or I'm moving on, you be quiet, or we're moving on. Understand something, people. You don't vote as an exercise. You don't vote to take temperatures. Dr. Claude Anderson said that if you want exercise, take your ass to the park. Go jog around as much as you want. We don't vote for exercise. And it is not a mock vote. Elections have consequences. And you must be aware of what those consequences are. When you vote, it means something. So if you're going to vote, you better vote like it's all the marbles, because it is. Now, when we talk about Reagan, does anybody say, hey, you know, I mean, that was just to take the country's temperature. Oh, really? Oh, really? Was the vote for Reagan to take the country's temperature? Was the vote for Reagan to feel people out? Was that what that was? Was the vote for Nixon to feel people out and take the country's temperature? Is that what the vote for Reagan was? The vote for Nixon? The vote for all these people? Is that what it was? Was that just a mock vote? Was that just, you know, an imitation vote? It wasn't really real? That's all? Is that the way we took that? No, voting is very real. Voting is very real. Voting is very consequential. And that's why I'm saying we need to stop playing about the vote and treat it like what it is. We need to stop playing about the vote and treating it like it is. It is deadly serious. It's deadly serious. And when people want to sit up here and act like their vote, they want to downplay the significance of their vote so that they're not required to actually produce or be responsible for it. That's the issue. The issue is when I have to say things like that. When you voted for George W. Bush, that wasn't a mock vote. That wasn't an imitation vote. That wasn't a straw vote. That was a real vote that had real consequences. When you voted for Bill Clinton and got three strikes, that had real consequences. That wasn't taking a temperature. For those of you who are not old enough to remember, when Bill Clinton ran in 1992, you can go look up the television ads. Him and Al Gore were running as, quote, new Democrats, that they were not going to be soft on crime. That was the number one thing. For those of you who are old enough to remember when Bill Clinton ran for president back in 92, remember those ads with him and Al Gore. Bill Clinton and Al Gore are not like the old Democrat establishment. They're going to be tough on crime. They're going to cut bureaucratic red tape. See, when we talk about this, it didn't happen in a vacuum. Don't believe me? You can go on YouTube and look up the commercials. It's there available for you to see. Go take a look at Bill Clinton 1992 commercials. Him and Al Gore. That's what it said in the commercials. Bill Clinton and Al Gore are not like the old Democrat establishment. Not like them. Oh, no, this is totally different here. We're going to be tough on crime. And next thing you know, here comes three strikes. Next thing you know, here it comes. Wasn't accidental. That was what they ran on. They ran as, we are going to be the new Democrats. We're going to be tough on crime. We're going to be totally different. We're not doing whatever with the old establishment and whatnot and integration. Oh, no, no, no. We giving you the business. That was what the ads said. That is what the ads said. That we're the new Democrats. And guess what? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are letting the white supremacists everywhere know that we're the new Democrats today. That it used to be you had to vote for white folk who would undermine black people. Today you can vote for black Manchurian candidates or mixed in Manchurian candidates who will undermine black people. That's how sophisticated it's gotten now. Caller from area code 346. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Prince from Houston. Can you hear me?
Prince from Houston, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I do agree with you. But I mean, I like to get these politicians a pot to piss in myself. But I just have one question and one question only. It's going to be very original. But I like to know, since George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, since the beginning, they say Barack Obama's the first black president, but he's clearly showing that he doesn't have black people's interests at heart. None of them do.
Okay, brother, can you get to the question, please? Can you get to the question, please? You're putting me to sleep. Just get to the question.
I'm sorry. The question is, when are we gonna get real black people in the office? I mean,
you're gonna get real black people into office when black people as a group get serious about getting their money, power, wealth, and influence together. We're starting to get an agenda, but politics requires money to run. So it's good we have an agenda, but you're gonna have to get the other pieces in place. When that happens, when we have an economy, you see, you vote to protect your economy. White supremacy is about its economy. Its foundation is its economy. If you have no economy, then voting doesn't really work for you. So we got to take care of that. Good to have an agenda, but without the economy, you have nothing to protect. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Jesse Lee Peterson was on the line there. Let me get a caller from area code 203. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jay. This is Rob from Connecticut.
Rob from Connecticut. Where at in Connecticut, sir?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford, Connecticut, WWE territory. Yeah. What's on your mind?
Yeah, the Republican ripoff guy, McMahon, who's also part of Trump's cabinet, but that's a whole other story. But I'm a faithful listener to yourself and Tariq, and you're always on point. Like you said, you can't trust these old niggas, and Obama's an old nigga. He don't give a damn about black folks. Neither does Biden or Harris. And nobody wants to bring this up to the point. I've been in the Marine Corps, and I've seen, you know, high-ranking people who are black, and they don't give a damn about nothing but getting their money and going on about their business, and Obama is a prime example of that. So just wanted to call and say this.
And who gives a damn if you get yours? That's the way it is. Once they get theirs, I got mine. Who gives a damn what you don't get? Thank you very much for giving us a call. Here's Knight. Let me get a caller from area code 786. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay, he is asleep at the wheel. Caller from area code 412. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Jason Black? How you doing?
Try this the second time. What is your name? Where are you calling from, sir?
My name is Emmanuel, calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Emmanuel from Brooklyn, what's on your mind?
Yeah, man. Like what I said, you know, Barack Obama, you know, he's an old trick bastard. Because when anytime he comes up, you know, steps up towards a plate, he always want to make that what you say, a bait and switch strategies for what he said back in the past. And then once he said something that doesn't mention us, he comes with these intricate, you know, low scheming words that he be saying that, you know, there's like American values. What American values do you want to be impacted on?
Well, yes, that's the point I was making, is that you talk that Dr. Claude Anderson covered that conservatism. What exactly are you looking to conserve if you're a black conservative? Americanism, what exactly are you looking to preserve? Which part of America are you looking to preserve right now? And when you start taking a look at it, then you realize, yeah, these old trick bag words, that's why they keep trotting them out. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 929. You're on live for the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Jamal. Call me Dito. Calling from 106 in Park, Harlem. How you doing, Jason? Blessings all the time.
What's on your mind? Jamal from 106 in Park. This almost sounds scripted. What's on your mind?
No doubt. Everything that you be saying is true. They all the party of Satan. They all gay. You know, evil folds in on itself. We go wash this out and we go do things to counteract whatever they do. You know what I'm saying? Because they all wrong. We all know it. It's not even nothing to we have to get our people on point just like you're doing. It's not even nothing to talk about. I ain't never been following the government. I'm 50 years old. Ever since I was like around 9 or 10, I was out in the street making money, doing my thing, doing mechanics, doing all kind of other stuff. Went to jail, came back, changed my life. I be hearing a lot of people calling. They're off cue. They don't be knowing what they be talking about. They don't follow. But if you in the rugs, if you in the streets, and if you having a hard way hitting up, you'll know exactly what you're talking about, because you'll hate
well, you know,
all of them people.
If you're a black person who is not easily bamboozled, you are not emotionally dependent, if you're a black person who actually wants something, then you realize, yeah, this stuff they're talking is the jive talk they give you at your job. If you're a black person who's still doing the church thing, and I'm not being demeaning to the church folk, but if you're a black person who, if you're a T.D. Jakes fan, T.D. Jakes has perfected the art of selling niggas on getting nothing and then come back every week and pay nothing. Creflo Dollar, same thing. So if you're one of these old Negroes and you're still stuck on getting nothing for something, then what we talk about is going to sound crazy to you. But for those of us who are younger and we actually have real demands, it goes differently. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get caller from area code 704. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's the name? Where are you calling from?
I don't even need that right now.
Caller from area code 646. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, TBA. Anthony from Queens, New York.
Anthony from Queens, what's on your mind?
So, you know, a little observation. I think what we're going to start to see, because they see that foundational black both parties see that foundational black Americans are starting to gain power. So I think what you're going to see coming up, but what you're seeing, you're kind of seeing it now with both parties. They're going to do what Tariq says. They're going to start bringing in these tethers, these non-foundational black Americans to start speaking for us, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus.
I mean, that we're already there. We're not beginning to do that. We're already there. We're in the middle of it right now. The real thing is we never asked those questions before, but Barack Obama technically is one of them. Kamala Harris is another. These individuals who do not tie their lineages to the killing fields of American slavery, they've already got a dog in the fight of opposing us. Kamala Harris sees herself as an Asian, not a black person. See, Kamala Harris thinks she's a too smart nigga is what she thinks she is. She thinks she's got all this the wool pulled over on our eyes, and that she's really an Asian, but she's got us fooled. That's what she's been going for. In California, because the black population is so negligible there now, she could get away with it. Now that she's on the national stage, there's more of us who see it for what it is, and she can't pull the trick bag like she used to. She can't pull off the con job like she used to. So Obama, Kamala Harris, understand something. We're asking different questions now. It's a new day. Barack Obama don't want to come talk to a crowd full of black folk. We're asking different questions now. So he's going to go to a rally full of white folk and talk about what black folk can get from government and should be okay with. But he's not coming down here to the soil. He's not coming to the people and trying to sell that bull crap this time. He's just hoping there's enough scared old niggas who will creep their way to the polls. But he's had every opportunity to talk to young black folk. Hasn't tried it. Now, he'll talk to the LGBT and the moist dudes and stiff broads wing, but he's not going to come talk to us. Why? Because it ain't 2012 or 2008. It's a new day. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 832. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Black? How you doing? This is Rashad from out of Houston, originally from Watts.
Rashad from Houston, what's on your mind?
Yeah, listen to your program. I have a couple of thoughts. The first is I was listening to Dr. John Henry Clark, actually. He was talking about the bastard of history, and particularly talking about with Alexander of Macedonia. One of the things that he did, he would take his generals and he would tell them to procreate with the women of the people that they conquered, because they looked like the folks that they conquered, but they thought like them. And this is primarily what we're seeing right now with Obama and Kamala Harris and some of these other individuals that are running in these government positions. That they look like us, but they don't think or act like us. They have the same mindset as many of these white supremacists. And it's very interesting. Particularly, I was looking at the congressman over in Louisiana, the one that was calling Ice Cube a liar, and all the energy they're projecting towards him to attack him, and it's all the same thing. You know, they get all these black folks to sit up and undermine the rest of us, and many of these cats go along with it and don't have any kind of allegiance to us but to this power structure, even if it is with the Democratic Party. It's disgusting.
Well, definitely, like I say, I mean, it's going to be important for us to understand that this is going to be the new way forward, Manchurian candidates, Trojan horses, and the black vote to see if we're going to fall for it again. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 240. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Jason. This is Marquise calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Marquise from Fort Washington, what's on your mind?
The first thing I want to do first is kind of apologize for most of the people. I've been listening to you for about 4 or 5 months now, and most of the people that call from this is the DMV are just ridiculous. That's all I want to say. I just want to apologize for my area. But I have an interesting question. Once we let the Democratic Party crumble, what happens next after that? Like, I just, in my mind, think of it being just some big red country or something. I just want to know what happens once we destroy the Democratic Party for not living up to our demands.
Well, first of all, we're not going to destroy anything. They're going to destroy themselves. We're not doing this to you. You've had every opportunity to concede. You had every opportunity not to go the way of the Bull Moose Party or the Whigs. You've had every chance to do that. So we ain't doing nothing to you. They're doing it to themselves. That's all. We are doing what we're supposed to do. We are looking after our interests. We're looking after our interests. And if you are not going to look out for our interests, we will. So my answer to you, brother, is what are we going to do when we kill them off? We ain't going to kill nothing off. We're going to do us. We're going to do us. And if it just so happens that they are unable to survive black people adopting an actual agenda, then so be it. They've chosen it. This isn't us doing nothing. We're not killing anything. This is natural selection. This is evolution. It's not us doing it. It's the way of the universe. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a call from area code 984. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is V. I'm calling from Middlesex, North Carolina. How you doing?
V from Middlesex, North Carolina. What's on your mind?
Middlesex. Yes, sir. I want to say this is the first time my cousin turned me on to you today. And everything that the message I'm going to say is this. First of all, I feel like people need to read the Constitution. Black people. I'm talking to black people. I'm talking to nobody else. Read the Constitution. It's all right there. You still consider 3/5 in this country. Emancipation does not mean freedom. They're two different words. Two different words that have two different meanings, correct, right, or wrong.
Well, here's the thing, okay?
Yes, sir.
There's only one thing you have to remember. You don't have to read the Constitution. You do not live in a nation of laws. You live in a nation of men. And the Constitution
correct.
Was written, amended, and everything else. There wasn't a black face in the room. That's all
right.
You need to know. You don't have to read it. You don't have to study it. I mean, you can as an intellectual exercise. You don't have to read it. You don't have to study it. Just take a look. Oh, by the way, who was in the room? Well, most of you are slave owners. Yikes. Well, I see where this is going
right.
to go. See, we shouldn't need people to get a degree in these things. We ought to be able to read the room real quick. Take a very quick glance at what's going on and see, okay, if I'm trusting these guys to have my best interests at heart, it's not going to work. Well, thank you very much for being
exactly.
a new listener. We're very glad to have you here. Please give us a call again. Let me get a caller from area code 773. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Jason? This is Julian from Chicago.
Julian from Chicago, what's on your mind?
All right, well, you know, what I see, like, how do you basically, when you see your family and they on Facebook and you telling them, hold your vote, or you saying, hold your vote, but your family still keep up the same traditions. They want to vote out of tradition. They want to vote because our family died for it or our ancestors died for it. I done had family members do whole speeches, dramatic speeches about how they die for it, and I'm voting for my little cousins and my kids. And I'm like, I'm saying to them, like, what are we getting out of it? But they don't hear what I'm saying. Then on the second hand, on another hand,
okay,
I got a brother that's a
okay, sir, we don't have all night to run down your family's foibles, but very clearly
right.
allow you both families. They're still on the plantation. Here's what I need you to understand, okay? How old are you?
I'm 38.
Okay, and how old are they?
Well, one of my cousins, they up in their 40s, probably late 40s
all
or
right.
mid 40s.
All right, there
and,
you go.
The other ones, they in their 30s like me.
All right, so just understand, you probably got a bunch of family folks who are still dealing with that plantation mentality, that mental plantation mentality. They're used to just voting because that's the family tradition. Your job isn't really to argue with them, to be totally honest. That ain't really your job. You're not here to convert them, okay? You'll be wasting energy on them. If they have just chosen their fate, you just got to understand, well, thank you very much for being honest, and leave it at that. I wouldn't engage in discussions with them. I wouldn't engage in debates. you got to understand, if Barack Obama came to their house tomorrow morning while they were eating their cornflakes and slapped the damn spoon out of their hands, they would laugh. And that's not you. That's not you. You don't understand the world the way they do. You're not willing to accept the abuse that they are. You're like, hey, there's a better way. And they're like, nope, it don't get no better than this. So when Barack Obama says you can never eliminate racism, you can only hope for it to get better, they are signatories to that. They're devotees. They're adherents to that. They're in line with it. Yeah, we can never get rid of racism. Just nibble around the edges. Hope for the best. And that's it. And you're saying, damn, nibbling around the edge. I'm trying to kill this thing. And they're like, they're all sitting like this. No, but it's invasion of the body snatchers, man. So what you need to do is get in with like-minded people. Do not waste some of the folk who are time wasters. You are related to them. Don't.
And I got one more question real before you finish. Okay. Yeah. I got one more question. Now, I work with, like, I know it's a bunch of white supremacists. I work with them, and, you know, I navigate through them. But how do you navigate through them? Because sometimes I be getting mad. Sometimes they have conversations, you know, at work about certain things and this, what's going on all around and voting. How do you navigate without, blowing up on?
You don't. Brother, you spend too damn much time talking to people. You need to start learning how to be a sleeper agent. Stop telling people what the hell you know. That's the problem we have. We got too many black folk who want to impress other people. We want to convert them. We want to get respect. Stop telling people what you know. The dominant society don't tell you a damn thing. When you want to go get a loan, they're not telling you where to get a good loan at the best banks that'll help. They don't tell you nothing. You want to know about buying a house? They don't tell you anything. When it comes to money, power, wealth, influence, they clam up. They clam up quick. They don't argue or debate. They don't go into details. They don't say nothing. Here you are. Well, what can we say? They don't talk to you. Why are you talking to them? The Asians damn sure don't say nothing to you. They don't say a word. And then you come up and, hey, everybody, what y'all think over there about this? They talk about, you don't understand, you're being played. They goad you. They sit up here and just drop a little trinkle, and they know you can't keep your mouth shut. They know you ain't going to be stay quiet. So they just sit up here and throw a little crumb out there, and here you go. Like, you see what happens right here, what y'all need to know, man. It's a new day. Brother, we're supposed to know it's a new day. We ain't supposed to say nothing to them.
Okay.
They're supposed to find out when they get to the polls. They're supposed to find out when they turn on the evening news. They're supposed to find out when they log on to YouTube. You ain't supposed to be sitting there giving them the heads up. Okay. We're the only ones who do that. Black folk didn't find out that there wasn't a minority coalition until the Asians dropped it on us. They didn't say nothing. We have been, you know, sitting up here supporting Asian causes since the damn 70s. Bruce Lee was mobbed up with all types of black folk. Black folk put Bruce Lee on, but he was the only one. Everybody else from China was like, yes, thanks to y'all black folk helping us get over here. Let us boot you in the ass now. We found out that they wasn't on the team when they started fighting affirmative action, when they started supporting police violence. That's when we found out. They didn't argue with us. You walk into their store, you buy now, you go now. You buy now, you go next.
That's
when we find out from other people. And we're the other folk are able to outmaneuver us because we keep giving them the damn heads up. When it's very clear, all they're really doing is talking to see if they can provoke you into starting to spill the damn beans. That's what they're looking for. Can we get you to spill the beans? And we're the ones who keep going for it. So stop talking to people. You know things. If you know things, that's all you need to do. Then when you identify a like-minded person, y'all get together. But stop telling your damn enemies and folk who are opposed to you what the hell you know. You're supposed to be like us. Your ears supposed to be open. That's what they're supposed to be. Your ears supposed to be wide open. You supposed to be
ears. And I understand that for everybody else, but I'm talking about like the family members. If you can't talk to them, like you, it's like you alone. You know,
you are,
they don't know
you
what you know.
Yes, sir. You are among them. What's your point?
Oh, okay.
If you haven't made, I'm trying to let you know, the sooner we get you to this realization, the better. This is like me trying to explain to somebody, Santa Claus ain't real. No, he's not real. There's not a fat white man who's going to fit down your chimney. You live in an apartment. There is no chimney to fit down unless he's going to pick the locks on your home. And you're like, oh, no, baby, but if it ain't St. Nick, who going to buy the Xbox? Nigga, you going to buy it. That's who don't get it. So, brother, if I can't talk to my family, who I talk to? Somebody with some damn sense. That's adulthood.
Yeah.
That's adulthood.
True.
Who you going to talk to? Somebody with some damn sense. That's who. They let you know they are fine where they're at. Brother, ain't nothing else to say. At Thanksgiving, give them a gift basket. But stay away from politics with them and whatnot, because you know as soon as they open their mouth, they're going to be on the bull jive. You're not there. You've transcended that. You've grown beyond that. There's not my point with your family. There's nothing to say. You need to be around with some sense. Get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. I would much rather see you on social media than talking to your kin folks. There ain't nothing to say. You got too many damn options to meet some other people. Too many. For you to be sitting up here furiously trying to work family members who don't want to change. Damn that. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Now, he wants to talk to the family. He wants to talk to white coworkers, white supremacists. He wants to do everything except something useful. Call of Mary Code 323. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Shauna C., and I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Shauna C. from Los Angeles, what's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about this smiling snake Obama. Okay, well, we have to stop thinking it as a community, a collective, that he's going to change anything and has changed anything since he came into office since 2008.
Oh,
now,
we're already there, Shauna. Now, you do understand.
No, because I just seen a post with D.L. Hughley talking about
because he can shoot a jump shot in the fucking corner and shoot a three, that's
my president.
Okay, no, Shauna, no. Okay, no. That's not the issue. Nobody's buying it. That's not what they're selling. I have just done back-to-back programs letting the phone lines be open so that people who support Biden and Harris can call in and explain the positives, what you're voting for, not what you're voting against. Nobody could tell us what they were voting for.
That's easy. I'm not voting for either one of them.
Shauna, I didn't ask you who you're voting for, baby. Open your ears. You're not listening. I asked those people, the folks who support Biden and Harris, what it is they're voting for. And none of them called up to say, I'm voting for. Some of them talking about education, but they didn't really have anything they were voting for. So what I'm telling you is that they are not voting blind. They're not voting ignorant. They know that they're voting for nothing. They know this.
Right.
So the only question is, are you a person who's voting for nothing, or are you a person who's voting for something? Let's be very clear. You cannot listen to celebrities or celebrity endorsements. You and I talk about Barack Obama. D.L. Hughley talks to
Clown.
Barack Obama.
Clown, man.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
You and I talk about Dwayne Johnson. Barack Obama talks to Dwayne Johnson. So their connection to him is totally different from us. They go to the parties, the cocktail parties, the book signings, the business deals, the cameo appearances on the TV shows and movies, the call-ins. These are their peer group. D.L. Hughley is not fighting against white supremacy. He's fighting against us. And his job is to drop a few things that sound like he's with us. But at the end of the day, he knows which side his bread is buttered on. He knows who he's working for. And at the very last minute, he's going to say the same thing that Obama, Dwayne, Roland, and all the rest of them are saying. Yeah, Joe Biden is a son of a B, but he's our son of a B. And you ain't going to get nothing from Biden, but you're going to get worse from Trump. So you might as well vote for the lesser of two evils. Same game they've been running now for 5 decades. It isn't that these people you're talking about don't see it. It is because they have accepted it. Now, we need to get to a point where we accept that they have accepted this weakened, fallen, degenerate state. As far as the celebrities, them niggas don't live nowhere near us. They're here to stay in good standing with their political buddies. Barack Obama ain't my political buddy. D.L. Hughley is trying to stay cool with Obama. I don't give a damn if I'm never cool with Obama because he's never going to be cool with me. Thank you very much for giving us a call. I ain't got no friends at the Obama house. Call of America 720. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Ilias from South Bend, Indiana.
Ilias from South Bend, Indiana. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I know the number is Colorado, but yeah, I spoke to people before in the 2016 election about how if Hillary had won, the Black Americans would be done. I'm glad people didn't necessarily vote for Trump for that to happen, but the awareness needed to be there. If Black people vote for Biden in this election, we will be finished in this country. I'm not sure. I think we're under a spell or something, and we don't quite see what the Democrats are. But, and also, if Biden wins and we vote for him, even Lil Wayne, whoever comes out in favor, whether they realize what they're doing or not, I think a lot of them actually do have sense. The people that are around us, the Asians, the Latinos, the Africans, they're going to remember it. Just, we don't remember things that people do to us, but they're going to remember this.
Well, if Biden and Harris are elected, what's going to happen is the Black contract with America, that's going out the window. You're just going to wait. They're going to be like, yeah, well, we gave Ice Cube a phone call, and they're going to bypass straight past that. They've already done it, and at this point, they're just going to continue doing that. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 405. You're on live with Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Tanya, and I'm from Oklahoma.
Tanya from where at in Oklahoma?
Yes. Oklahoma City, originally from Enid.
Okay, if you've got me on speaker, I'm hearing myself echoing.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Okay, folks, have your phone game together when you call in. Come on now.
Okay.
It's the 21st century.
Is this better?
All right, Tanya, what's on your mind?
Okay, I wanted to know, since historically reparations have been paid to nations, actual countries, like, you know, Japan and Israel, do we need to make our own country in order to make to get our reparations, because waiting on less than life, Lewis.
Dear, how old are you?
36.
Okay. Explain to me precisely how in the 21st century, when the entirety of the planet Earth has been mapped and all of the land masses have been claimed for the most part, except for some, there are some specks of dirt that nobody wants. Explain to me exactly how you propose that Black people should quote-unquote create their own country today. How do you propose we do that?
Well, to appeal to the United Nations and the World Court as a state of emergency.
The United States owns.
And the reparations will be paid from the United States for us
owns,
to have a separate
land. Kanye, the United States owns the United Nations. Can you please tell me, ever since Malcolm X and when we were protesting about how the United States assassinated Patrice Lumumba, a head of state in Africa, can you please explain to me when has the United Nations, in 60 years of black people protesting to them, lifted a damn finger to help black people? Name one time.
Well, in January of this year, I heard that there was a visit from the United Nations and declaring that the issues with black Americans or African Americans was a state of emergency, and they basically were saying that we were discriminated against so much that we need to do something about it, that the United States needs to do something about it. But if we're waiting on the United States to do something about it, what are we going to do instead? I'm just saying, what are we going to do instead? Are we going to wait for them, or are we going to do something for ourselves? That's what I want to know. Is that not possible?
With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you, won't you?
There are plenty of other countries that were made in the last 30 years, not just the places like, Namibia.
If we were going to have a backwards, slow bus remedial discussion, then I should just put on some little kids' remedial music, is what I felt. If anybody's wondering why I did that, I just felt if we're going to have an ADHD discussion, we need to have some ADHD music to go along with it. I asked you, what did the United Nations do? And all you could say is, well, somebody in the United Nations said we should take a look at that there. I didn't ask you that. I said, well, what have they done? And the short answer, and you already knew this, was, oh, the United Nations has done nothing. You're so desperate grasping at straws. When the reality is, your point, your argument is banal.
I'm not trying to argue.
It's banal and irrelevant. You cannot create a new nation today. The last time that something like that tried to occur on American soil caused the American Civil War. How did that turn out?
So
this
idea, no hope for us except to appeal to left and right.
Excuse me. You talk for yourself, okay? Don't sit up here, and that's nothing. Don't ask me loaded questions. You can ask, okay, what do we do? There better not be too much of that. No, so there's no hope then. Okay, well, it sounds like you got all the damn answers, but then again, you didn't even know your suggestion was the United Nations, and you didn't even know the United Nations. Well, you didn't want to accept the United Nations has done nothing for us until you actually asked. So you've weighed in with what you know.
I mean, all I want to know is what we can do instead of just waiting for both sides to come together or decide something
for
us. We take the matters into our own hands.
It is time for you to stop talking. You were asked what you know, and you said it. Absolutely nothing. So at this point, it's just time for you to be quiet. Simple as that. You were asked what you know. You don't know anything. You're not going to enlighten anybody.
I just want to make this a better place. That's all.
You're not going to enlighten anyone. Ma'am, be quiet. If you start talking again, I'm dropping you. Because you stalled enough and wasted enough time today. Enough. My program is not for bored people on their Ritalin to call up and entertain themselves. This is for serious, serious high-level discussion. Not for the bored people. Black people are going to have an agenda. We're finally getting together to have one. At the core of that agenda needs to be economic empowerment and self-sufficiency and self-determination. From there, you create a community. And that community empowers you anywhere on earth. China is on the other side of the damn world. This is going to be news to you, but China's on the other side of the world. It's not over here in America. And yet, their influence is global. Jews are a numerical minority, always have been. But they have an outsized amount of influence because they practice fierce community. Same thing for gays. Same thing for Latinos. Black people are the only people attempting to figure out how to exercise power without that type of agenda cohesion. Not just cohesion, but cohesion centered around an agenda. And the agenda cannot be religion. The agenda cannot be hoping for the best. The agenda needs to be Black empowerment. And at that point, it doesn't matter where you go, because the bottom line is when all you people call up talking about making a government and whatnot, you're leaving out one little thing. White supremacy is global. We don't have the ability to take land in the United States. You can't take it as a standing army. They would love that. The white supremacist government would love it if all the Black folks who were against white supremacy would simply line up in the streets and face them as a standing army. They would love that. They could wipe us all out in a day. They would love it. And we got Black folk giving simple-minded explanations, this standing army. And we need to divorce ourselves of these childish, infantile fantasy notions. Let me ask you one question. Just one, okay? And I need a serious answer, all right? Are you listening?
I am.
Okay. How much money do you make in a year? Just about.
$25,000.
There you go. And there it is. You see, when you got real resources, you have to come up with real explanations. You have to come up with real options. You can't come up with fantasy ones when you have real resources. But the other thing is, when you have real resources, you realize how powerful you are.
As a collective, we have a lot of money.
No. As a collective, we ain't got nothing. Stop that nonsense. Black people have one half of 1% of the world's wealth.
Power, we have $1.3 trillion that we spend.
$1.3 trillion. You don't even know what spending power means, but furthermore, we've got $1.5 trillion in a global economy of over $300 trillion. Do you realize that the housing crisis of 2008 wiped out, 10 times that amount, if I remember correctly? It wiped out, $5 to $10 trillion of wealth. Black people's, quote, wealth that you just named is statistically insignificant. You didn't know that.
But it's enough to practice group economics, right?
Yes, it is enough to practice group economics, but here is the problem. How old are you, Tanya?
I'm 36.
Okay, Tanya rhymes with Kanye, almost. Okay.
Kind of.
Tanya, here's my issue here. And I mean this as politely and diplomatically as I possibly can. Do not get offended, okay? I'm sitting here. I'm having a teaching moment, all right? For everybody listening, I want to have a teaching moment. I want to thank you for your candor. But seriously, I have to say this because this goes to the heart of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're 36 years old, making $25,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any kids?
I have three daughters, and I want to make the world a better place for them. But anyway, go ahead.
How old are they?
18, 16, and 14.
Okay. You have three kids, one who's pretty much grown, and two others who are on their way. You're $25,000 a year. How in the world are you taking care of three kids on $25,000? Are you married? Of course not.
I am, actually.
You're married? Are you real married, legally married? I can go to a courthouse and look
up. I am. I was married 17 years ago.
Okay. How much money does your husband make?
About $30,000 a year.
So you do understand that the median income in the United States, the median, if you took the poorest person and the richest person and then lined them up and everybody in between, from the very richest to the very poorest, the person, whoever would be standing in the middle, that would be the median. You realize that the median income in America is 50, depending on which one you take a look at, about $54,000 a year.
We're right under that then. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the
problem. We're right about that.
Here's the problem when you said we, because remember what I said, median income measures individuals, not how.
True.
So what I'm saying is neither one of you is making less than half the median income, and the other one is barely making over half.
Right.
I don't say this to be demeaning. I don't say this to be condescending. I say this so that I hope you will understand, for you and the sake of your children. You are giving political frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? You're giving political frustrations. And as a result of giving political frustrations, you're going to come up with non-answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the problem. Power does not respect weakness. Power respects power.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is that in your daily lives as individuals, don't get offended at this, but in your daily lives as individuals, neither you nor your husband have been exercising power. You're 36 years old. Let me ask you, how long have you been working?
Since I was 16, so 20 years.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You've been making minimum wage since you were 16.
Well, I mean, I'm making $17 an hour now, but it's still not enough. If we want to get our reparations, it could be so much more. I just want to make sure that...
You say that you're making $17 an hour?
Yes, maybe more. I'm not a math person, so maybe
you don't, know how much you make?
I'm not a math person. I just said that.
Okay, dear, here's my issue. At $17 an hour, you'd be making closer to about $36,000 a year.
Oh, okay. Well,
not
okay.
This is not about that.
I know that much.
Okay,
and I want everybody to cut the check for us.
Okay, this is not about being a mathematician. Here's the point I'm trying to make. I'm talking to a woman that I just asked her how much money she makes, and she's not sure. Will you please explain to me, for my edification, how are you, even if we could set up our own government in America, explain to me, Tanya, what would be your part in it? Because you don't even know how much money you make in a week, but you're going to help us to run an entire nation? Just help me to understand.
Well, I'm good at customer service, and I'm good at promoting things, and I love to make music. These are the things that I have historically been able to do.
That is great.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful. Baby, to build a nation, we need engineers. We need
And there are so many black people that
we
have made those leaps and bounds.
Right, but here's my thing. My thing is I'm looking at you and I'm asking if you're preparing your children for that. And that's
Absolutely, I am.
Okay, but how can you teach them that which you do not know?
Well, I can't do everything by myself. That's why I employ the education system.
Here's the thing.
to help help me with that. But
okay, ma'am, what you just said is
that's
a terrible thing. I employ the education system. In other words, you're hoping that their teachers know more than you because you can't
about specific subjects, especially yes.
Okay, so in other words, you want to be intellectually lazy for the future of your own children, and you're talking about how great your laziness is going to turn out.
Not exactly, because I've been working for a very long time, and I have gotten my degree.
Exactly.
But the degree didn't get me a high-paying job like I expected it to be.
No, ma'am, that is exactly what it is. What do you have a degree in?
Liberal studies.
Okay.
Broadcasting.
And how many people who make $100,000 a year did you know who had a degree in, quote, liberal studies?
Not any.
Okay, so here's my point. My point is, you say you're depending on the schools, and yet you don't have the ability to even determine if what the schools are doing for your kids, the folk you're dependent on, are even doing a good job at it. But you're depending on them.
Well, you know, and that's why it leads back to having our own government and having our own education system. Okay.
You hear me, and if you talk over me again, I am dropping your ignorant ass. Now, that's the third time that you have talked over me. If it happens, I promise you there won't be a fourth. Did you hear that?
I hear you.
All right. Maybe that flies with your husband. I make much more than him. I'm much smarter. You will respect me more. More than husband! You're damn right here. If he doesn't insist on that, I am pleased to be the first black male who will. I will not sit here and have my... I can't even say intellectual inferiors. You're talking just straight intellectual ignorance and laziness. I'm going to let the schools take care of it. And you can't even evaluate whether or not the schools are doing it right or not. You can't even evaluate that. So what it really means is you checked out of parenting. This is right after she told us what a great job she was going to do, making sure her children could do better. And then she turns around and says, oh, how you going to help your children do better? Oh, I'm going to let the schools do it. The white supremacist.
I used to work for the schools. I know how the system is.
The white supremacist schools? You're going to leave it up to, that's your brilliant stroke of genius. The white supremacist schools are going to take care of it for you. The white supremacist schools are going to see to it for you. That's your master stroke of genius when I asked you, how were you going to make sure your kids didn't turn out like you? Oh, the schools will take care of that. I'm dependent on the schools. The education system going to do that so that you won't have to. Because the truth of the matter is you don't have a plan. You don't know what you're doing.
I'm in agreement with you.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with you that white supremacy is not.
Here is agreement. Here's the only thing that we need to agree on. We need to agree on that you're not ready. Battle at 36. You're not an old little old lady. You ain't ready for battle. Why in the world would I possibly believe you're going to help your children get ready for battle? You're not. You're not war ready. You have no war chest. You have no finances to fall back on. You have no ability to affect the world around you in a meaningful way other than yelling and screaming. You don't have anything. But a fantasy of starting a government as an option. If you did do it, you couldn't bring anything to it. You couldn't bring anything to it. And there's no reason for us to have otherwise. There's no reason for us to accept otherwise. None. I'm not going to sugarcoat this for anybody. I'm not going to sugarcoat this for anyone. I'm not going to sugarcoat this for anybody. Understand that.
Mm-hmm.
As black people, we deal too much in fantasy and not nearly enough in concrete reality. And right now, there's no way in the hell your children are going to follow your example, not your advice. This is that type of harmful negligence. Too many of you who thrive on single mother culture, I'm married. Those of you who thrive on single mother culture, keep doing. Because you all want to outsource the raising of your children to the dominant society. and the dominant society is going to make sure they grow up as dumb and useless as y'all were. Your children need to see a mother and a father who are socially, intellectually, and economically progressive. Let me ask you, ma'am, Miss Holder of a degree in liberal studies and broadcasting, I think you said it was. What do you do for a living now?
I work with a cell phone company, Apple.
You do nothing. You got a job. You don't have a career. They can wake up anytime, close the store you work at, and you're on your ass. And that's the example.
Well, I don't work at a store. I work for the customer service line, but
that's
yeah.
The example
that's
that you have set for your children, that at any moment, it can all end. Because mom went to school and got a degree she could not use and then didn't regroup to straighten it out. Now, I'm going to make some suggestions to you. And once you do that, once you get your personal act together, then other things will change for you. Now, I doubt the company that you're working for there has training to help you work on their network because they don't do that anymore. They got too many people for that and they hire from within. But I am going to say there are a number of other things you could do that will get you making a hell of a lot more than $25.
And I have an idea, and I haven't presented that to you. But
okay,
yes.
Ma'am, you don't need an idea. You need a career.
I got that. I understand.
You keep trying to talk your way through this. That's the resort of people who are clueless. Baby, you're not going to bull job your way through this discussion. You don't need a job. You don't have an idea. If you did, ma'am, if you did, you wouldn't be 36 with it. But what's your idea? Drop it on me. Enlighten me. Tell me.
Well, I mean, I do actually have an idea. I have multiple ideas, and I have a business that I have started. It's not as profitable as I would like, but...
A business that you started. How can you start a business and you make $25,000 a year? A business doing what, ma'am? I'm listening.
You buy a domain, you buy a website, and you build it yourself. You take the time to research how to build a website, which I have, and I have built one completely, two I'm working on. And I have an idea that I can build some apps. And I have lots of things written out, but that's beside the point. I just want to make the world a better place, and I want to be able to not see black people getting killed by police officers.
Ma'am, if you want to make an app, you have to learn computer programming. You didn't say a word about. Ma'am, you didn't say a word about I'm a computer programmer. You didn't say a word about that.
I didn't go to school for that. You asked me what my degrees were.
Yeah. What computer programming language are you learning?
I'm working with Google Cloud and WordPress.
Okay, let me try this.
Microsoft C++.
By the way, you do understand you're embarrassing yourself badly right now. Let me try this one more time. To be a computer programmer, you must learn a programming language. What is the programming language? You just said that I didn't know what you know, and I'm jumping to conclusions. Okay, ma'am, what is the programming language that you are studying?
Microsoft C++.
Okay, that was the last thing you said. You just mentioned Google and a bunch of other people, and now you're talking about, Microsoft C++.
That's where you can make the apps, which, yes, I've been studying. I haven't made one yet, but I know that I can.
How long have you been studying C++? And I'm going to say one more thing to you.
On the side for about 3 to 5 years.
I'm going to say one more thing to you, ma'am. Keep in mind that you are speaking to someone who has studied the beginning of C++. So keep in mind, you're not talking to someone who is illiterate about computer programming languages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you one more time, because I heard what you said, but everyone listening, how long have you been studying C++? Have you been learning C++, ma'am?
Well, C++, that I have only been doing for a few months, about.
Oh, well, you
three,
just said
months.
5 years.
But
no, didn't she just say 5 years?
Making
didn't
a website and learning
that?
How to build a platform has been 3 to 5 years.
Didn't you just say 5 years?
I did about making websites.
I asked you about computer programming, and you said 3 to 5
computer
years.
Computer programming, 3 to 5 months. It really
oh,
hasn't
now,
been that
now,
long,
now
but I know
no
I can
longer,
do it.
Now it's no longer 5 years. Now it's 3 to 5 months. Now
it
it's
is.
That. All right. And this, as you all understand, I was respectful as I could be up to this point. You all heard what she said, just like the chat room was blowing up because they heard what you said. Now she thought we weren't listening or didn't pay attention. No, when you're talking to somebody who actually does these things and understands it, it's going to be very difficult to pass through irrelevant, illogical, irrational things. You're not studying anything, period.
I am,
you're
actually.
About
I have.
What you wish you would
I
do.
Am.
Ma'am, if you were really studying these things, first of all, if you were really studying it, you wouldn't be talking about building websites in the 21st century. Nobody's talking about that. Second of all, in the chat room, they are correct. You don't use C++ to build websites anyway. You would use HTML.
Well, it's not
ma'am, you would use C++. Maybe you can build video games with that. If you're going to build an app, you really need Java. Most of your apps for cell phones are being built on Java. So you don't even know how to get your lies straight. You don't build websites.
Actually,
ma'am, you do not build websites with C++. You build websites with HTML, I'll be damned. It sounds like Jason Black knows what the hell he's talking about.
Advanced browsers like Google with C++. And you
so
can
you're
also
telling me to
do video editing.
So you're telling
you can
me.
Also do,
you're telling us that you intend to build a browser.
I do.
Ma'am, there's a reason why they call me the Black Authority. Because all this stuff you're trying to guess and bull job your way through on this phone, I've been helping people do this for over a decade. You're not going to pull the wool over on my eyes about what programming languages are, what they do, what they're used for, how they work. You as an individual, you will never build a browser. You need a group of people to do that. You would need a
I
bunch of people.
I believe in myself, and I know
and
that there are some
HTML you damn well want to. You're going to need to have a knowledge of HTML. You're going to need to have a knowledge of Java. You're going to need to have a knowledge of all those other languages that you didn't even know existed until I mentioned them right now. You're going to need to have a knowledge of
I do know that they have existed, and
but
I have
don't know
looked
how
at them before, but I did not put myself in a studying position until –
You
a
don't know how to
ago.
Program. Be quiet. You don't know how to program a website. I mean, a browser for all those languages. You don't know how. It takes a group of people to do that. That's not something an individual can do. You need a group of people fluent in those languages, fluent in how they're used on the internet, fluent in plugins, Firefox, Brave.
We can do this.
None of those are
we can
done
do
by.
This. The Black Collective can do this.
Okay, the Black Collective can do it, but you, Tanya, can't. You need to get your ass up and go to CNA school, get you something practical, become an LPN
Mm-mm.
so we can get
no,
you
sir.
A real
no,
laptop.
Sir. No, sir. I will help people the way that I know that we can
but you don't
help.
Know
if we have another platform like a browser – as well, and I've already
you're
bought
not
my domain.
Help
I know that I can
do
this. Do
anything because you don't know nothing, Tanya. That's the brutal reality. You ain't gonna help nobody else. You don't know.
I
you
can
just
help people. And you can help people.
People.
You've been
don't
helping
know.
People for so long, and I appreciate you.
Tanya,
and I know
I
that I can help
people because I took the time to learn. That's why I can help
and
people.
And I'm
you
learning. And my story is not finished yet,
Tanya.
Sir.
Tanya. Go to CNA school.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Hang up the phone, Tanya.
I love you, and I love every other Black person. Be
Tanya,
one, and we're going to do better.
Sister, hang up the phone.
We'll see you later. Take care.
We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you.
Jason's mean, Jason's rude. No, I'm just letting you all know. She's got three kids. She's got three children, and this is what they've been raised on. Pipe dreaming. And it's usually the guys who do the pipe dreaming. This is a female who doesn't do this, so it's usually the guys who do that. Usually the guys. Call it from area code 312. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Jason. My name is Mike, calling from Hammond, Indiana.
Okay, how you doing? 20 feet back from his phone. Mike, I'm going to give you 3 seconds to sashay over, pick up your phone, take it off a speaker, and talk where we can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Mike from Hammond, Indiana. I have a question for you. If the Republicans consistently receive, let's say, 25 to 30% of the black vote, what would happen? Would both parties treat the black community and the black vote differently than they do now?
No. As I've explained all along, as Dr. Anderson has for decades, clearly you're new here, voting alone is not enough.
Well, I'm not saying that voting alone is enough. What I'm saying is that if the black vote was not able to be if the black vote was not taken advantage of, if the black vote was not taken for granted, is what I want
to figure out what he wants to say. People, come on now. Bottom line, brother,
okay.
We don't have our economics together. Asians and Arabs and Jews all have outsized influence because their economic game is together. They don't have the numbers and have never had the numbers to affect an election, and yet they do. Why? Because their economic game is together. As black people, we've been trying to figure out how to get the political game together and have our economics in a shambles, and that makes you politically impotent. You put the two together. Gays don't have the numbers, but they have they're willing to vote, and they've got economic power behind them. That's what we're missing. So we can vote. As black people, we've been giving the Democratic Party a whole faction of their vote. And what have we got? They have been politically dependent. They lose elections when we don't show up. Shout out 2016, shout out 2018. They lose elections when we don't show up, and yet we haven't gotten anything. So what that shows you is that even if you could make a political party lose an election, they're looking to see how much punishment you can bring to bear, because all they'll do is what the Clintons did back in the 90s, and they'll start pandering to the white supremacist vote. So they'll just switch it up. That's the point. Understand a little more clearly now?
Yeah, but wouldn't the black community have more leverage? We have zero leverage,
brother,
at this point right
again,
now.
Again, without the economics together, you have no leverage. You have to have both. Your vote plus your economy gives you your leverage. Hell, economy gives you the leverage. Voting,
I agree.
Voting without the ability to economically punish them, that doesn't mean anything. Thank you very much for giving us a call. He's trying to figure out politics today. He's trying to figure it out. Let me get a caller from area code 929. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Mikey from Brooklyn.
Mikey from Brooklyn, what's on your mind?
I mean, if you, just like you said, you know, you talked about economics and how that really determines, like, the value of our support. But it all goes back to Africa and how, according to the United Nations, 38 out of the 50 countries listed there are third world African countries. So it's, as long as Africa is the way it is, you will never gain respect in America or anywhere else.
Internalized.
You don't think that's the case?
Nation of the matter by transmitting the effervescence of the Indonesian proximity in order to further segregate the crux of my venereal infection.
Yeah, folks, you know, it taxes me to open up the phone lines too, by the way. When I open up the phone lines, yeah, I have that sinking feeling you all do. And understand, I'm paying for all this. By the way, just so you be aware, I'm paying for all of this. It doesn't cost you all money to be here. I do want to thank the people who have contributed. Don't get me wrong, but I was paying for the Black Channel long before I even allowed people to do that. So thank you very much for your contributions. I appreciate that. Brother Sutan, thank you very much. You're doing the most, as always. Roy, everybody else, thank you very much. But by the way, it costs me money to do this. So if you all think this doesn't wear on my psyche, you're wrong. This costs me cash money to do this. To open up a forum whereby which Black people can have the opportunity to do something they usually can't do. Talk, converse, speak. A high-minded intellectual exchange about what needs to be done. But no, this is what we get. This is what we get right here. We live in America. Well, you see what it is, the United Nations. As soon as somebody says the United Nations, that's it. Check out. Conversation's over. They don't have a real suggestion to give you. They don't have a real suggestion. They don't know. They don't really have anything to say. It's just they're just here to be here. They don't actually know what we're going to do. Brother, did you hear me talk to the previous caller when she brought up the United Nations? Did you hear me talk to her about that?
Yeah, but, you know, it's where I got my sources from.
He said,
but this is the truth, though.
So he heard me talk to her, and he said, yeah, but.
Well, I'll just say this. There is no majority Black country that's ran by Black people that is not third world. So until that changes, you will not gain respect from nobody.
Okay, the United Nations is an artificial body set up by the United States and Britain in order to leverage control of the world. The African nations are not doing anything for the diaspora. The United Nations is not doing anything for Black people. You're grasping at straws. You're just saying, well, I know it's some African nations in the United Nations. That must mean something, don't it? No, it actually doesn't mean anything, which means you don't know anything about the United Nations or how it works. But you did call us up to say, well, isn't this a suggestion? You're just repeating what the previous caller said. I already debunked that. So the problem we have is a lot of Black folk like to call up just to listen to themselves speak.
But this is why I voted for Biden.
All right. Hammer, how you do it? I do it for my people. I have learned all these things for my people so that at least we do have a place where some Black folk who are serious, at least you have a place you can call in. Tonight is not one of those nights. No, what this tells you is that our lack of economic ability has left a lot of Black folk in an ADHD special ed mentally struggling state. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing talked about how white supremacy infantilizes Black people. And she was right. She was right. White supremacy infantilizes Black people. And so when you're in a powerless position, but you don't like the position you're in, you can either fight it or you can resort to make-believe. So he knows the United Nations exists, but, yeah, the rest of it's silly. The rest of it's silly. And those are the kind of folks who gravitate to voting for Biden. I think he was saying he voted for. Those are the kind of people who vote for Biden. People who cannot be bothered to think. They can't outrun their own ignorance. Yeah, they're okay for that. And that's why we have a Black media today, so that we can directly confront that and directly diffuse it. I just hope we have enough. But I'm telling you right now, they've dug Obama out of mothballs. They are desperate. Our job is to make sure this pendulum does not swing back the other way. In a few days, the election will be over. And the world is going to be saying either one of two things. When the election is over, they're going to say, damn, Biden lost, and it's black people's fault. The Democrats were not able to galvanize black people, and their disrespect for black people cost them the White House. Mark my words, if Biden loses, the whole world is going to look to black society and say, you did this. You derailed it. You stopped it. The world will either be saying that, or if Biden wins, the world will be saying, oh, well, business as usual. Back to business as usual. And Kamala Harris will be sitting in the vice president's retreat, rubbing her hands together in fiendish glee as she works hand in hand with Democrat and Republican governors, district attorneys, and sheriffs so that they can properly conspire now that they got her in the White House, so she can properly conspire, because let's be very clear, Joe Biden is losing his faculties. That much is very clear. Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi will be running the show. And Kamala Harris will be sitting there. She will help craft legislation to bring in as many Asians, Latinos, gays, whatever it can be. If you're black, you can get into America. If you're gay, if you're not, stop there at the border. They are all going to conspire. And they are going to railroad this through because they realize, hell, they're going to be like, damn, that was a close one. Them niggas, enough of them niggas almost woke up to stop us. We better get some backup to make sure that we preclude any possibility that they could ever form this big of a threat again. Kamala Harris is going to get together with Gavin Newsom, Andrew Gillum, Stacey Abrams, and any other Manchurian candidate she can. And that's what it'll be. That does not mean the black media will go away. That doesn't mean the black media will stop. But I want you to understand that would be a significant setback with the progress that we've made. Something like that occurring would constitute a serious setback. So what do we do about it? You're doing it right now. You have gotten together with people who are on code. You are congregating in a place where you are working and acting in concert. That's what you're doing. You are working with people who are acting in concert with you. That's where real change comes from. It comes from you and me and us and we saying, this is the agenda. They know what the agenda is. They are hoping that at the last minute, black people will abandon it. It's my wish that we haven't done that. If you are new here to the Black Channel, welcome to the Haven of Intelligent Black Thought. We do this every weekend. Over 110,000 subscribers and rising. We are not a little thing by any stretch of the imagination. If you haven't clicked that red subscribe button, do so now. This is your time. We give you the insight and analysis you can receive nowhere else. We are the black media. And click that yellow notification bell. I know that YouTube has us under a shadow ban. We know that, but with your help, we can still grow, which is what we've been doing, but we need your help to do that. So join us. Click the red subscribe button. Click the yellow notification bell. And if you haven't been to our website, yes, we have a website. Tanya did not put it together for us, but if you haven't been to our website, blackchannelfilms.com. That is blackchannelfilms.com. Go there and check out our groundbreaking best-selling documentary work, 7 a.m. Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style, our newest documentary, Race War, all available on sale on DVD, on Amazon for streaming, for rental. Join us, blackchannelfilms.com. That is blackchannelfilms.com. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the Black Channel. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, my brothers and my sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.